best healthcare one American at a time.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
It's time for the great debate on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. And the great debaters consist in alphabetical order of John Alexander and Stanton Friedman, both of whom have been on the show before. And although they both accept the reality of UFOs, they have different ideas about whether there's a cosmic Watergate that the government, any government on our planet, has guilty knowledge about the existence of extraterrestrial spacecraft. So we're going to have that discussion. We're also going to focus on the other issues, such as the MJ-12 documents indicating a committee that allegedly investigated the Roswell and other cases. We also have questions from our listeners. Tons of action to go through, so I'm going to keep the introductions to a minimum, and I'm going to ask some questions. Chris is going to ask some questions, and we'll allow the participants, because this is not a formal political debate, as you've been seeing now, to talk with each other. They can ask each other questions.
Okay.
And because they are so many thousands of miles apart, it's not as if they could walk through the microphone and beat each other up. Although that might be a change, you know, instead of having just the knockdown drag.
Well, remember, yes. John is an expert on non-lethal weapons, so
that's true.
I don't need to worry about him.
Non-lethal, so it doesn't hurt.
Okay, so you can beat up Stan, but he won't feel it.
No, right. The other way around.
Or vice versa.
Okay. When we had you on before, John, I think one of the questions I asked you was about so-called UFO secrecy. I take it you do not accept the proposition that the government has guilty knowledge about the reality of UFOs. Do I take that correctly?
Yep. They don't care.
Would you be more specific?
More specific than they don't care? I don't know how to say that. It's just not on their agenda.
All this call for government disclosure, it's a waste of time.
It's been happening and happening and happening, and any number of countries have come forward. The U.S. has come forward. There's a website where you get a DOD website that you can go up there and hit all of the agencies and whatnot. I'd say there's the possibility that there's something hidden in somebody's drawer, anything significant, I don't think so.
Stan, you disagree.
I totally disagree with that. I've read John's book, and there are certainly parts of it that I agree with, especially about Colonel Corso, et cetera. But I think he missed the boat. I think we are dealing with a cosmic Watergate. I think there are three genuine MJ-12 documents. He is wrong when he says that the government has released all kinds of stuff. I mean, well, it depends on definition. The National Security Agency turned up 156 UFO documents, and they're released, except that you can only read one sentence per page. There are a number of CIA, those were top secret umbrella documents, I might.
Specifically, Stan, one sentence per page, meaning everything else was redacted, blacked out?
No, it was whited out.
One way or the
literally,
other.
Literally, and that was because I used to show the blacked out ones on television. I called them and asked for the new set, and she knew who I was because she heard that I showed them on television without saying that what was blacked out was method sources and methods information, which is a legitimate reason for redacting stuff. But when you get the CIA blacked out, a top secret, not the secret ones, the top secret UFO documents, and they're so labeled by them, you find that you can read six or eight words per page. Everything else is blacked out, literally redacted, if you will.
Is there any hint, Stan, as to what they're blocking out? Anything to be inferred by the context?
Only that it's UFO-related. You have no way of knowing. You got one sentence per page that you can read and a few isolated words that you can read in the CIA top secret stuff. Now, I'm not talking about secret stuff, and that's where I again disagree with John. yes, there's no question. The United Kingdom has released a bunch of documents, the DOD, MOD, and France has released them. There's no evidence any of those are top secret. And a very important point that John doesn't deal with in his book is the statement of General Carol Bolander, Air Force general, who was asked, what should we do about Project Blue Book? This is in 1969, after the Condon Committee had recommended closing it because it wasn't contributing any. He had no previous history with Blue Book, and he did a study, and it was his memo that led to the closure at the end of 69. And in it, he said, reports of UFOs which could affect national security are made in accordance with JNAP 146 or Air Force Manual 55-11 and are not part of the Blue Book system. Two paragraphs later, he says, if we close Project Blue Book, the public won't have a place to report sightings. However, as previously noted, reports which could affect national security will continue to be investigated using the procedures established for that purpose. I located General Bolander 10 years later, and I said, sounds like you're talking about two separate channel communication systems. He said, yes. So puts a whole different light on things. The good stuff you can't get on the Internet. You can't get from the government agencies in any of the countries that have released data.
Okay, well, at this point, I think John is champing at the bit. John, what is your response?
Of course. But, you know, again, it goes back to national security. And that's where everything hinges. Now, I argue, and having looked at both sides of it and seen the TF stuff, they probably should have investigated more and harder than they actually did. The sightings that Stan's, you know, well aware of in Northern Tier, and where missiles come offline, you're interacting with our strategic systems, basically looked at it and came back with a, what the hell? You know, we can't figure it out. It doesn't happen again. We're not going to worry about it.
But it did happen again. But the point is that the documents you say reveal everything they know don't reveal what they know. And national security was, of course, the objective. And we would agree there's a lot of junk out there. Holy cow. It'll keep you busy for ages reading that stuff. But the good stuff hasn't shown up. And I don't think you and your group of people had a need to know for
the related
stuff.
And you're going to tell me that the directors of these agencies don't have a need to know.
I'm going to say that they wouldn't tell you if you didn't have a need to know. And there's no evidence that you provided that you did.
That's always a possibility and the easy way out. But I am the one who has gone one-to-one with more of these folks than anybody else.
I would agree with that, John.
And I will go, you know, specifically the one that comes up, of course, has to do with SDI. And I can tell you, not even cognizant of the topic, let alone involved.
Would you define what you meant by SDI, John?
Oh, Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
Reagan and Teller.
Yeah, in ufology, you know, that was put together to fight E.T., if you believe some of the more radical rumors. Again, while Abramson was one of the people that I met with, I know a couple of the tech directors, and one of them, whom I've now identified, Dean Judd, intimately, knew him for years. We discussed this in considerable detail. In addition to being the guy in charge of the technical director for Star Wars, he was later the national intelligence officer for science and technology. That's where it all comes together. And we discussed this. We discussed it in tanks. We discussed it privately for years. The only reason I identify him now is that he unfortunately died suddenly a little over a year ago. And just, you know, hard to believe, but not on their scope.
I'll tell you what, we'll go into the scopes of the supposed knowledge or lack of knowledge on the part of the government on UFOs with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman. You join with Gene and Chris on
The Paracast.
I've got to tell you about this. GoToMeeting by Citrix, the way I meet online with my colleagues, has just added high-definition group video conferencing. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now you can collaborate with anyone around the world face-to-face. And I've used GoToMeeting HD Faces because it's awesome. You see the facial expressions, and that can express so much more than words. And of course, the video quality is so clear and natural, it's got the highest resolution in the industry. Nothing compares. GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective. Plus, it's so easy to use. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. The promo code is PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Still ready to save? Then you're ready for the fall super sale at HerbalHealer.com. HerbalHealer.com has been the leader in quality natural supplements since 1988. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of incredible fall savings on all sale products running through October 18th. HerbalHealer.com is proud to offer eFoods Global products, premium storable foods that are delicious, contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. All you do is just add water. To learn more, click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com, and you can try eFoods storable meals for free. And don't forget to click the specials link for even more savings at HerbalHealer.com. Be sure to sign up for our free newsletter. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time. Hurry, sale ends October 18th.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast, The Great Debate, with John Alexander and Stanton Friedman. John, you were talking about, once again, the fact you believe that UFOs as far as the government is concerned, it's not important to them. It's on their radar.
Well, I realized I used sort of a military term. We say not on their scope. What we mean is it's a euphemism for radar scopes and that there's absolutely nothing there.
Yeah, but now, they have seen UFOs on radar, John.
Well, and let
that's
me...
That's not the point. It's the euphemism is the point. They simply don't care. When Bob Bigelow and I went to Space Command to talk to them about some really straightforward thing. Again, UFO is a very side issue. We were talking about manned space, and they weren't even cognizant of what was coming, you know, with Burt Rutan and what Bigelow's doing and that sort of thing. For them, manned space was strictly the International Space Station. So if you think the space architecture is aware of these things, cares, it's just simply not true.
Well, John, but that makes a good argument for there being another, an independent agency, call it Majestic 12, if you will, just as, you know, President Truman didn't know about the Manhattan Project when he was vice president. He didn't have a need to know. It wasn't part of the scope of his work. It took 13 days after he became president.
Okay, well, who is it? I read through the day. It's always somebody else.
Look, the Majestic 12 group was a good start. Obviously, they're all dead. We didn't find out about them until after that.
Assuming they were created, it was for something totally different. We now know what that was.
I totally disagree with your... Of course, it had everything to do with UFOs. It had nothing to do with continuity. What was your phrase? Continuity of government? COG.
Yeah.
And some of the people on there certainly wouldn't have been on any such thing.
Oh, no. I have to disagree. That list was perfect for the precursor to the continuity.
There were no politicians. There were no government people with government elected officials kind of thing. That was a technology group, an outstanding technology group.
Right.
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with continuity of government.
Oh, it did. It had to do with what is it that we're worried about? How do we protect this? Four of them were DCIs, all people with experience with nuclear weapons. How do we stop?
The head of the National Academy of Sciences? You know, Berger, you had a bunch of aerospace types, three different guys who've been head of NACA, for example, before it became NASA. But I don't see any connection there. And also, I find
to nuclear weapons?
These guys weren't nuclear weapons guys. Bush's outfit, you never in your book talk about the thing called Lusty, an organization whose major objective was looking at crashed aircraft, Luftwaffe, you understand, and gathering bits and pieces and trying to find out how they work. Perfect outfit to take on flying saucers. You never mention the Office of Scientific Research and Development. Bush was head of that during the war. They did 80 or 90 different technology development programs, the proximity fuse and radar, and there were a whole bunch of other things, all for use during the war to win the war.
Sure.
And so you have them, that you say that the government, if Roswell had happened, they would have taken this stuff to Los Alamos and not to Wright Field. Wright Field was doing tons of work on trying to figure out from crashed vehicles. That they brought back literally tons of paper from Germany.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of this. More of the ins and outs will come in a moment. We need to ask a few questions. Chris, you're kind of champing at the bit there.
I am. A gentleman that I don't want to name by name, but all of us know who he is, used to be involved with the DSP spy satellite program. He made a very revealing comment to me at the last MUFON symposium, and his assertion is that every satellite system, spy satellite system that we have deployed since 1999, one of their taskings is to find out where UFOs come from and where they go.
That's
he
not
says
true.
That these are well,
patently not true.
Okay, I will put
I'm
you in touch with
I'm just giving you my
right.
source.
I know.
I mean, I'm talking to the people who designed the space architecture.
So this is not a case. This is not a case of my source is better than your source.
Well, he's pretty insistent. He says that these satellites are tasked. That's one of their taskings is to look for fast walkers and other objects that they don't have any sort of idea of where they're coming from or going to. Okay, well, I just wanted to throw that in.
Multiple sources, high level, not true.
In your book, John, this was pointed out by one of the Paracast listeners, you never mentioned the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO. And do you think that there's an agency there that or an office there that may be sitting on some pretty explosive information. Why were they not mentioned?
They got a big black budget for reconnaissance in space.
Not on their scope. Again, the people that I'm talking to and, you know, they're reporting to are the ones who, you know, develop this architecture.
Why would they tell you, John? You don't have a need to know for, you know, call it MK-12,
okay.
Call it what you want.
Like I say, I'm back to the heads of agencies don't have a need. Did I get bamboozled? I'll put that down in the approaching zero, but a possibility.
Well, I'm glad, because absence of evidence is not evidence for absence.
Okay,
yeah,
Stan, let's just look at that question. Stan, gentlemen, Stan, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about this assertion that Chris just relayed, that satellites deployed since 1999 are capable of detecting UFOs?
I think it's certainly true, unquestionably true. I mean, if you can read the license plate in the Russian parking lot at their big building there, you can spot UFOs. And we've got to assume that these guys can't pick them up is ridiculous, or that they're not there is ridiculous.
Sure, but the question would be, yes, we can see the license plates. And I always, people don't like when I mention movie references, but there was a Will Smith movie out, 10 years ago, Enemy of the State, where they followed him around Washington, D.C. He couldn't breathe before they found
him. I want to sell you a bridge.
Right. So we can't do that in reality, can we, John?
With the things they were describing, and don't confuse Hollywood with reality.
And we understand
I
that.
There's two key issues, and one that I think is far more. I think you're totally missing the point. Can satellites pick up UFOs? Yes. Do they? Yes. Do they care? No. But more importantly and more interesting to me are the ones in which you know they were there and they didn't get picked up.
You're thinking of the Maelstrom kind of thing.
No, I'm thinking more of, that's one, but Phoenix is, kind of a classic example.
I disagree. This particular source said that they tracked that object all the way from Henderson to Tucson. That was also news to me. I didn't know
Your
that.
Your source is wrong.
Okay, well, we'll argue sources, right or wrong, coming up.
I mean, we
John, please, John,
people.
Got a break. We'll argue the sources. In our next segment, because it's going to get hot and heavy. With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Stanton Friedman and John Alexander. You're in
the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We have John Alexander. We have Stanton Friedman. The great debate about UFO secrecy. You're listening to the Paracast with Gene and Chris. So, John, before we broke, you were about to say some things about your viewpoints, and you were about to express a point of view about what we care about, what we see. Go on, please.
Yeah, that there are so many of these sightings where you have, like, physical sighting, and yet you do not have the physical sightings that you should have. Why are they not showing up on the systems that we
How do you know they're not?
Parameters of them? Well, we do.
How do you know they're not showing up, John? Because they don't tell you?
No, because they don't tell anybody. Ask Fife Symington. You know, he tried to ask, and he was the governor and responsible. The other mythology about, and I think misinterpretation of the Phoenix Lights, is that it was a single sighting or a single event that happened on one night. These things happened multiple times, and you had big things hovering over major metropolitan areas that clearly weren't picked up. Why?
Okay, so now I really wonder here, John. Okay, this is not being taken seriously by the government. It sounds to me like a tremendous amount of information is available here. It obviously portends something really unusual. Wouldn't they care? Wouldn't they care enough?
No.
Why?
This is one of my key points, and this is what we're reading. They should read the book, and specifically the chapter on how the government works. Terrible misconception. There is no Department of Good Ideas. There's a gazillion things that ought to be studied, and they aren't. They just don't make the cut.
Well, John, you're reassuring us of that. I'm not convinced at all because, for example, in your discussion of the MJ-12 documents and other things, just as you said, get any of these government documents, if they only got one line per page, that's not getting the information that's on the documents. There would be a separate body at the center of the big Western wheel, if you will, without a rim. And you'd have spokes going down to the center providing information. But it wouldn't be under the standard Army, Navy, Air Force, et cetera. That's where you'd get a separate body coming in.
And
RO is just one.
Who are they? Where do they come
accountable from? Only to the president, okay?
Who was which president?
Well, as presidents change, then obviously the boss changes.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in that there are a number of claims in the book. When you looked at my 1997 Top Secret Magic, but you didn't look at the 2005 and three other sources of information, which have rebutted the arguments against the three MJ-12 documents. I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly that there's over 100 phony MJ-12 documents. So what? I agree. And I think they were put out by various government entities to muddy the waters. Would be a standard thing to do. Good stuff gets out, you put out junk.
All right, let's go back to MJ-12, guys, okay? Because we're kind of going to Chapter 2 before we started Chapter 1. And there's a core argument here. And the core argument being that we have various and sundry supposed MJ-12 documents. You accept a small portion of them saying the rest...
Three.
Okay, exactly three, but all the rest are fake, maybe put up jobs by government disinformation agents. So, at the very beginning, John Alexander, MJ-12, supposedly talking of this organization that was charged with checking out UFOs, probably Roswell, etc. What's your take on it? You don't believe it, do you? Any of it?
No. I think there's a strong possibility that MJ-12 existed, but the mission was totally different, and I think time-wise and mission-wise, totally consistent with the makeup of the people and exactly the way they would handle it as the precursor to an organization that did evolve and was one of the most highly classified projects in America for a long period of time.
What kind of project are we talking about?
Continuity of government. How do you survive a surprise nuclear attack? That's real. One of the things that you hear all of these discussions about, well, the government did this and the bad government did that. And, what's even at your age, I suspect you don't remember duck and cover. Stan and I are old enough to remember when we were talking about literally national survival. In the beginning of the Cold War, that's what they were worried about, national survival, a surprise nuclear attack that would take out the government or large sections of it. That drove everything, and it's just today not even in the consciousness of people, nor does it explain why an awful lot of things that were done, the radiation tests and things of that nature.
I think that's beside the point, John. I think if you look at the three MJ-12 documents that I talk about, I have discussed in the book I gave you, the later edition, and a couple of other things. I have discussed all the objections. You don't mention those, not surprisingly, because you were working from early stuff. But I've looked at those objections to those three documents and find that none of them stand up, whether it's Phil Klass challenging me on the typeface on the Cutler Twining memo and then paying me $1,000 for proving him wrong. I keep hearing the same objection. Let me give another one. In the document, it says top secret restricted, and a hue and cry went up. That was never in use at that time and so forth. And yet, when the GAO went out looking for Roswell stuff, they noted in their big fat report that they had found several examples of top secret restricted in the right time frame and all the rest of that. That's good enough for me. I tried to get them, and they were still classified, so I couldn't get them. But if they said so in their government report, how can I argue with that? There were a whole bunch of others of these particular objections One was that it says Admiral Hillencoder. My goodness, he was only a rear admiral. Obviously, the documents are fraud. Well, when you go to the Eisenhower Library, you find many examples of generic ranks. I don't need to tell you, John. You know about generic ranks. But and when you were a lieutenant colonel, you could still answer the phone, Colonel Alexander.
Yeah, this we used to ask. Are you a telephone colonel or a real one?
Well put. So that was one objection that was raised loudly. There is no top secret number on these things. And I got two different archives to say we have plenty of top secret documents without top secret control numbers on them. But there are a whole bunch of these objections which, when carefully examined, do not stand up no matter how loud the objector complained. So it's one of the reasons I started off, one of the things that bugged me the most was seeing Donald Menzel's name on that. Holy cow, that's the last thing we need. Here we have Mr. Debunker, and he's part of, you know, it made no sense. After all, everybody else had a high-level security clearance. That was easy to find out, as I'm sure you're aware. But you don't need a top-level security clearance to teach astronomy at Harvard. So I had to get permission from three different people. I went to Harvard, looked at his papers, and was totally shocked because I didn't like the man when I started. I'd had one run in with him, which was not a pleasant experience. And here he is writing Jack Kennedy that he had a longer continuous association with the National Security Agency, 30 years as of 1960, of anybody in the country. When we are properly cleared to each other, I can tell you more. This is Menzel to Kennedy. That came as a shock. When I found out he had a clearance with the CIA, when he was a cryptographer, taught cryptography, a whole slew of stuff that nobody knew, certainly not me.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into Donald Menzel and maybe even those Martian paintings he sold to Jim Moseley.
Well,
on our other side. Okay, but we got to tell you, we have John Alexander Stanton Friedman joining us. A great debate with Gene and Chris on
The Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Stan Friedman, John Alexander, great debate about UFO secrecy with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. When we broke, Stan was talking about the military intelligence background of Dr. Donald Menzel, the arch UFO skeptic, no longer with us. And I was mentioning before we broke that he actually was also kind of a painter. He drew Martians and other space people.
Yes.
And that was one of his hobbies. Of course, fascinating hobby. But the mere point is, a lot of people during World War II were recruited for intelligence activities. Actors, actresses, chefs.
Oh, sure.
A lot of people. It doesn't mean because Donald Menzel was just another patriotic American helping his country that he had anything to do with UFO secrecy.
Remember, he was a commander in the Navy, and he headed Naval Reserve Unit Number 1 in Cambridge long after the war. So he's talking to Jack Kennedy in 1960 about all his activities post-war. It's interesting. There are two issues of Sky and Telescope that were devoted to Menzel, one when he died and the 100th anniversary of his birth. Neither of them mentions all this very important, highly classified work that he did in the government long after the war was over. Not a mention. Well, they mentioned he was a commander in the Navy during the war. That's it. But, you know, he did work for the CIA. He did work for the FBI. I asked somebody who knew him quite well, another astronomer. I said, how does it strike you? You knew the man very well. Could he have known all about Roswell and crash saucers and everything else and still write these negative books, these debunking books? His answer surprised me. He would have loved it. Oh, yeah, he knew he was smarter than everybody else, and so he would get a great kick out of that, which was a surprising answer to me. I had one run-in with him. I can't say I knew Menzel at all, but I certainly found out much about him to my surprise. There was a loyalty hearing, as a matter of fact, that didn't make it into the New York Times and the Washington Post. He was accused of being disloyal. This is 1950, McCarthy era stuff, you know, because he brought in a pair of stockings to give to a Russian astronomer to take to his wife. He said good things at a Russian-American friendship dinner in 1942 when everybody was saying good things about the Russian. Harlow Shapley, his boss at Harvard, was thought of as a pinko, so obviously Menzel might be. Now, the funny thing is, the strongest defender was Vannevar Bush. who was a member of MJ-12 and head of the Office of Scientific Research and Development. And Roosevelt's, I'll call him science advisor, that technically he didn't have a title like that, but he was the guy, the go-to guy for Roosevelt, and he did a number of things for Truman as well. And incidentally, John, in the book you say Bush was director of Central Intelligence. He wasn't. Also, you say that people were given permission to reveal their Roswell data if they thought it was classified by Air Force Secretary Sheila Widnall.
Right.
That's not true. If you look at her letter,
Okay, excuse me, Stan. John deserves a chance to respond whether you agree with him or not. John.
archives.gov/FOIA/UFOs this morning, and I quote, prior to the interviews, Secretary Widnall released those persons from any previous obligations that may have restricted their statements. That's today. Now, I've seen the letter, and the one that I've seen, I'll hope, is not the real letter, misspellings and whatnot. I don't see any inconsistency between you can talk to my guys if you know, who have security clearances and you're released.
No, that's not what she said. Her direct instruction was you can talk to Colonel Weaver, period.
Right.
End of report, because he has access to everything.
Right.
And,
yeah,
you know, that's which
true.
Would make sense. But that doesn't mean you can
Except
talk to anybody
else. Except that he didn't
do
the interviews.
He did do the interview.
You know, the interviews were done by captains and other folks. The point in what she's saying, and this is probably our difference in interpretation, is she's saying, you know, here's a guy with the tickets. Don't worry about it. He's cleared to do it. Now, actually, if you had that level stuff, you could not discuss it anywhere because you did not have access to the right facilities in which classification, you know, discussions at that level could occur. But, you know, this was just, frankly, covering their ass. It's out there. It makes perfect sense. And like I said, the statement on the National Archives, and maybe you ought to call Sheila. She's at MIT. And
Are you saying the letter is a fake, John?
No. I'm saying it's if you understand the protocols, that's exactly the way you would say it. And there's no evidence that anybody said, oops, I've got a secret, and then revealed it.
You're saying she told them via a letter, not personally, these Roswell witnesses, that they could talk about anything because they were released from their security oath with regard to Roswell-related stuff. And I'm saying that was only that they could talk to Colonel Weaver. There's a big difference.
No, I do not see it as a big difference. You're making it a big difference. I see it in the noise because this is exactly how a bureaucrat would handle it. You've got to have somebody, and you're saying, here is a guy who has the appropriate clearances, so don't worry about whatever it is that you might want to say because you were secured at some level. Now, let me be clear on one thing, though. I do think that the government was very heavy-handed in the way that they handled this to begin with. I strongly suspect that a lot of folks were, in fact, threatened in ways that you would probably never do today. But again, of those interviews. All of those interviews, you know, when you hear the reports start was, it was a different time.
Yes, but John, wouldn't you, if you're being threatened, wouldn't you assume somebody wants to keep this information from getting into the public arena?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so doesn't that imply a level of UFO secrecy?
No. No, it doesn't. It says, I don't want this information discussed.
Okay, so therefore,
remember,
it follows that if you don't want it discussed, you want to keep it a secret. You don't want it to be revealed. Is that correct?
That doesn't make it UFO data.
It can make it any data, okay?
Right.
You know, the point is here, it doesn't matter if it's about UFOs, about Swiss cheese, or buying toilet bowls for $12,000 each. If you decide to keep it a secret, it's a secret. If there's no secrecy about UFOs, why classify anything top secret?
Because it wasn't wait a minute. You got to go back. It was a different time. The time frame that we're talking about is the beginning of the Cold War, a notion that's inconceivable to modern Americans. We were talking about national survival. You saw things flying around that we couldn't explain. Scared the crap out of everybody. Now, the basic assumption was not, oh, my God, they're aliens from, you know, someplace else. Well, they did eventually get to that. It was, my God, the Soviets, you know, our arch enemies who are out here to destroy us have a technological leap. We will do anything, you know, to prevent that from happening.
Therefore, you keep it a secret while you investigate
absolutely,
to find out what's going on. That says there was a secret. Okay,
UFOs.
So it follows then that if you're saying now there is no more secret, that they either decided that there was no mystery to it or that it didn't represent a threat. But if you've got something there that does what UFOs do, that flies at incredible speeds, you track them on radar, you can't figure out what they are, how mm-hmm. could the government say they don't represent a threat?
Not a threat. Condon was right.
No,
the question
Condon
to Condon was, is it a threat? He was right and wrong. But is it a threat? The answer is no. Haven't been invaded. I'd say, you know, 50 years, he's right.
Now, you're not telling me that you don't think we wanted to know the technology. Nowhere in the book do you go into the fact that my primary reason for government secret, as I see it, not being a member of the government, is the first reason is we want to figure out how the damn things work. We've got wreckage. We don't want anybody else to know what we've learned.
Now, that's where we just have to agree to disagree. I don't think we have wreckage. There are a large number of people who do.
Yeah, and I'd like to add here, too, also, John, that if we did have access to this type of crash debris and exalted, you know, exotic technology, you would think that some of this would have leaked out by now. And that gets into the whole Corso question and other things that we're going to talk about a little later. But Stan, here's a question for you. If we have had all this time to back engineer this technology, we have a lot of bright people, a lot of bright scientists that have been working at this, going on this assumption. They've been working on this for a long time. What evidence do we have that they have been able to ascertain any sort of information? And if they haven't, wouldn't that suggest that maybe John's right, that there is no crash debris?
No.
Okay, I'll let you answer the rest of that, Stan. We can answer it in a moment. We have Stanton Friedman, John Alexander. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, and investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.